Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start our services here at Osage Baptist. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. And also, I want to remind you that there is a small gift for each of us fathers. And if your father's not here, take one for him out there in the by the door as you leave this afternoon or this morning. All right, let's all stand. Now, we don't have PowerPoint, so just, if you don't know the words, sing Watermelon, Watermelon. It works every time. But all of these songs we have done several times, so hopefully you will know it. And when we get to the hymns, I'm going to give you the songbook number, and you can get the songbook out. All right. His grace is enough. Amen. Amen. One, two, three, four.
it's good to have you in the Lord's house this morning, and we're just picking up a few folks right along, and that's good. Thank you for coming and being a part of this. You have an announcement. Cherie has an announcement, and then I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer.
Good morning. All right, so Children's Church is set to start back up July 19th, so kiddos, get ready for that. Until then, we have these packets in the back for kindergarten through sixth grade, so if your kiddo hasn't gotten one yet, they're welcome to get one, and they can work on this stuff during the service so that they will have something to do geared toward their level. And VBS. The VBS packets are in, and so if you signed up for that, you will want to pick them up on your way out, because I believe it starts next week and it has the link. I'm looking at Miss Jeannie because she grabbed me and told me all this stuff a minute ago. All right. Is that it, Miss Jeannie? We're good? Okay. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you and praise you for the day you've given us. And Lord, we do thank you for godly fathers, men that are doing their very best to raise godly kids and be the husband that they should be and the father and grandfather they should be. And I pray that you'd strengthen their lives, strengthen their homes. We pray that you bless this service, Lord. This would be yours, not us. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth today. I pray that you'd be with the musicians and Mike as they lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you want to, you can get a songbook and turn to page 181. I'm going old school here. No, not one. Page 181, if you want to follow along. One, two, three, four.
There's not a friend I could hold. Thank you.
Father's World, page 43. The ultimate Father for all of us. This is my Father's world. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is the song, Revelation song. Thank you. I've got one more song. One more song. All right. Well, here is half of my Father's Day present. My daughter is going to come sing with me. My son is taking a test and could not make it today, but... Anyway, we're going to do a song that we did a few weeks back. And I'm going to dedicate it to the fathers, but really to everybody. It's just in this time of where we're at. Where'd you go?
Right here.
All right. The song is called The Blessing. Hope you enjoy.
Gracious to you, the Lord turn his face.
Stuff. Have a thank you card to read. Thank you, Osage Baptist Church, for the wedding shower gift table. All the cards, the money, the prayers are greatly appreciated. Riley in Georgia. Riley, I think you did good. When Riley first brought Georgia over here, I thought there's something. That girl looks familiar to me some way. And Gwen said, well, she's in every Bible drill that we've been to for the last 20 years or however long it's been. And so that's good. Raise those kids to love the Scripture and the Word. And bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We will be giving you tonight off, so we'll not have services tonight. Some of you have an opportunity to be with your family, and so we want to let you do that. Next Sunday night will be a business meeting. And we will meet here in the auditorium for that business session, and we'll social distancing, and but we will have a business meeting next Sunday night. So want to remind you of that, and that'll be at 6 o'clock next Sunday night. And everything else is going as scheduled. And technology is great when it works, but this morning it's not all working. So take your Bibles and turn to Psalms, the first chapter. The book of Psalms, the first chapter. The book of Psalms is, and I said, "Mom, I really don't know how it got inside him." He said, "I think I know." I said, "What do you think?" He said, "He stopped going to church and he stopped reading his Bible and he stopped praying, and the devil got in him." I said, "That sounds like a pretty good theory to me." Well, I want to tell you something, folks. When you and I are not doing what we are supposed to do, it opens up a hole in our umbrella. Our protection over our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids, it opens up a hole for the devil to be able to reach them because we're not doing what we should do. And you'd say, "Preacher, you proved that to me." Well, the Bible says the sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. You and I hold a great responsibility. Look with me over in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. When we talk about the influence of the father on his family, you remember the story of the Philippian jailer? You remember what happened there? Of course you do. Acts 16, verse 25. "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep..." By the way, wouldn't you agree that God is completely aware of what's going on in our lives? Here's old Paul and Silas off over in Philippi. They've been thrown in jail. They've been beat. God's aware of what's going on. He's not. The Bible says he doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber nor sleep. He's always completely aware of what's going on in our life. He's completely aware of what's going on in your life and all of your family's life. "And the keeper of the prison," verse 27, "waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." Now, I don't have any way to prove this, but when Paul is writing his letters to the Philippians, I believe the Philippian jailer, he's not saved here, but he gets saved tonight. He gets saved at this point. I believe him and his family is in that church at Philippi. He's not yet, but he gets saved when this takes place. And Paul said, verse 28, said, don't kill yourself. We're all here. That's my translation. "Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Most important question that you could ever ask in all of your life is, "What must I do to be saved?" And it's as simple, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." If you would do a little research, you would discover that if you get saved as a father, your children are much, more apt to be saved. The people of your family are much more apt to be saved than if the mother gets saved first. And I'm all for that. Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They preached to him. The Lord Jesus Christ told him how to be saved and what Jesus had done for him, and that Jesus had come and died on the cross for his sins and to all that were in his house, his whole family. They all heard the preaching. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So they heard the word of God. And he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, you'd say, well, what is the point? The point is, this guy had a big influence on his family. He had a huge influence on his family. One of the greatest times I've ever had in my life was when I see whole families being saved. And that's not happened very many times, a few times. But I shared the gospel in a home down in Hoxie, Arkansas. We were down in that area, and the man and his daughter got saved, and the woman didn't. You know that I've told that story before, but she got saved later. But I'd made an appointment to go and talk to Joe and Gary Bessie, and it was when Michael and Carol were young teenagers. And it was great. It was just a great evening. I did a funeral. I got to get going. I did a funeral in Clarksville. And on my way back, I just got so tired I could not hardly stand myself. And I just thought, man, this has been such a long day. I mean, I left before daylight, and I was driving back from doing that funeral, and I thought, I'm going to call them when I get home and set this for some other time. I'm just too tired to go to their house. But the Lord urged me not to do that. And so I kept the appointment, and I went to their house and shared the gospel. And, you know, the devil is against us being saved. If you've not been saved, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, there's someone here that doesn't want you to be saved. It's the devil. He doesn't want you to be saved. It was amazing all the distractions that took place while I was trying to share the gospel. I mean, this family was open to the gospel. They turned the TV off. They knew I was coming. They were ready for me. They were all sitting in the living room, and they were ready for me to go through the scripture and share the gospel with them. And people came to the door. I don't know how many did. More than one, it seems like, anyway, and knocked on the door right in the middle of the deal. And the mother got up and went to the door and said, "We're busy. You'll just have to come back later," which I thought was great. And when I finished that presentation on receiving Christ as their Savior, that they could be saved, then, that night, there in their living room, Carol said, "I want to be." Michael, her brother, said, "I want to be." And Joe said, "I want to be." And Gary said, I'm not ready. And I said, that's fine. But I said, you're not against them being saved. Oh, no, no. Let them. They need to go ahead and do what they feel like. So we got on our knees around the coffee table that they had there in the living room. And we started to hold hands. And Gary said, I'm ready. I want it. And so the dad got there on his knees with his family, and they all received Christ as their Savior that night. You and I have such an impact on our family's life. One last verse, and I'm going to close. Micah 6 and verse 8. Tell me, old man, what is good? What does the Lord require of thee? And here the scripture says, do justly. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly. Do what is fair and just to your neighbors and to your family and to everyone around you. That is what the Lord requires. Secondly, he requires that you love mercy, be compassionate, and loyal in your love. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And that means love regardless. It means love outweighs everything else. It means that love, even though that person may be hard to love, you continue to love that person through that hardship in their life, through that difficulty, through those bad choices. You still continue to love that person. Now, I'm not saying that you support them, that you just go to throwing money at them and supporting an ungodly lifestyle. I don't believe that God meant for us to do that at all. Sometimes we enable people to live that kind of lifestyle if we do that. Sometimes it might mean leave them in jail, not pay them out. Sometimes it might mean, no, you're not coming to my house to shack up. Sometimes it might mean, no, I'm not giving you any money. And that's hard love. That's a tough decision. But it's greater love than to get them out of our hair by giving them something. It's greater love to take a stand for what is right. Love mercy, be compassionate and loyal in your love. And then finally, walk humbly. Walk humbly. What does that mean? What does that mean to walk humbly? Make sure you don't shake too much, get your halo out of shape. What does that mean to walk humbly? Chuck Swindoll says, we don't need to take ourselves too seriously. We need to be transparent. We need to live a life before our kids that we're not perfect. And by the way, they know you're not perfect. I don't know whether you figured that out or not, but they know you're not. And my kids knew I wasn't. Be transparent. Confess your sin. When you're in the wrong, be willing to say to your kid, I was wrong in that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was wrong. When I've had a few spats, about three times a week, we've had a few disagreements in 50 years. I haven't kept any kind of log on them. But we kind of had this agreement that we would not fuss in front of the kids. And I believe that's a pretty good idea. And I'm not saying being transparent to have a big fuss in front of the kids. But sometimes tempers will rear up and the devil will get in the deal and we'll spout off or say something that we shouldn't in front of the kids. And when our kids were little, that happened in between Gwen and I. And my first thought is to get out of there. is to leave. I don't mean leave, pack your bags. I don't mean that. I mean get out of the room. And we'd had this spat in front of the kids. And my office was, the church was just across the road from where we lived at. My office was in the basement of the church, just down the sidewalk. And so I just headed to the office. And my oldest girl, I don't know how old she was at that time. She might have been 10, I can't remember. But it really upset her. And when I started for the door, she stepped in front of me. And she said, Daddy, please don't leave. And I said, sis, I'm not going anywhere. And I just turned around, went and sat down. I did what she told me to. I tell you, folks, we need to be transparent in front of our kids, and we need to show godly love and forgiveness. We need to be ourselves, but at the same time, we need to always put God first in our life. We need to be ready to apologize to them or to their mother, whatever it might take. I'm going to quit right here. I'm not near through. But let's stand together. Mike's going to come and lead us. And our musicians are going to come. You know, I understand the need for the distancing, and that's what we're going to do. Very best that we can. But I sure don't want to pass up an opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus if you're here and lost. Or if you're listening to us on the internet or one of the CDs or YouTube, however you are going to church, or if you're over in the gym or out in the parking lot and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you today receive Him as your Savior? Would you step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at, and by doing that, say, I want to become a Christian today. I want to be a godly dad. I want to be a godly husband. I want to be a godly granddad, whatever it might be. I want to do what God is leading me to do. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. And if you're listening to us, I'm going to ask you to do this. And if you're here in this congregation today and you've not received Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to follow me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. Thank you for coming and dying on the cross for my sin, for rising from the dead. And today, right now, I accept you into my heart as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you acknowledge that by coming forward today? If you are a Christian, God's dealing with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship, would you make that decision today by coming forward and telling me what you want to do? If you have another decision to make, perhaps it's a recommitment on your part, would you come? Tim's going to be up here with me. Would you come and talk to one of us today as we sing? And Roger's going to be up here. Roger, as we sing, you come.